I don't know what to think when the song before the sermon is "Let My Words Be Few." What are you getting at there, Scott? Oh. Oh. Well, it's probably are going to be few because I am tired and not feeling the best, but we'll get through this together. The Spirit will give me the energy I need. So Acts 21, verses 17 through 26, we've looked at this passage a few times. We looked at it from the perspective of Paul, and we saw the reality of his willingness that even though he had done nothing wrong to harm anyone, that he was willing to try to do the right thing to show the fellow believers that he was not dishonoring the customs of Moses, and so he was willing to put himself aside to make peace. We saw the elders of the church, and we saw how they were wise enough to listen to Paul, how they were wise enough to consider the circumstances and not show bias, and to offer a way to bring peace. But before I walk away from this passage, I would be remiss if I didn't point out the biggest thing that we need to take away from it. And that is that we must realize the deadly effects of being a part of gossip. You know, Solomon, as he was talking about gossip in Proverbs 26, verses 20 through 22, said, "Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is the quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts." Now, there's three things that we need to understand about gossip, things that Solomon taught us in the Proverbs that we need to carry forth in our lives today. And the first that I want to point out is that gossip seems innocent. It says the words of gossip are like choice morsels. All of us like the idea of being in the know, right? I mean, let's just be honest. Like, we kind of like knowing what's going on. I'm not going to lie to you. One of the things that I always check out before we start a Sunday for football is who's hurt. Which guys are hurt? Which guys are questionable? Which ones are going to play? Who's going to be able to play up to their full potential? And I want to know. I want to know who's the healthy guys, who's the hurt guys, so I know how much of a chance my team's got. And we all kind of have these situations where there's information that's floating around, and we pick it up, and we are left with a question of what to do with it. Our society is filled with gossip, isn't it? I mean, you know, the worst thing for me, I walk into work there at TSA, and I sit down in the break room. I get there plenty early, so I have time to settle in and adjust myself to the idea I have to work. And there's this one show that is always on. It comes on right after the news that is just the worst gossip show. Like, they don't even wait 3 seconds to start talking trash about somebody. And instantly, my first thought is, anybody else want to watch Gunsmoke? Can we flip the channel? Because I don't want to be a part of it, but it's right there. When you're walking down the aisle and you're looking at the, you know, the magazines on the side, what's the first thing you see? All kinds of gossip, right? Which celebrities are engaged? Which celebrities are getting married? Which celebrity marriages are in trouble? Oh, my. And then our coworkers, right? They come up, "Did you hear about what happened? Oh, my goodness. This Thanksgiving, they had a fight, and the pumpkin pie ended up in this person's face." And I'm like, oh, no. Is the pumpkin pie okay? That sounds wasteful. But it's everywhere, isn't it? It's just, it infiltrates, you know, and it even infiltrates into our news cycle. How many times do you turn on the 24-hour news network and there's breaking news, right? Oh, man, the shooting just happened. Okay. Well, now, depending on which network I watch depends on what the narrative is that they're shooting for, right? One, is already pointing me towards a terrorist extreme, right? Oh, this was obviously some sort of terrorist attack, and we're trying to figure out what's going on. And then if I look on the other side, no, it's instantly some kind of alt-right supremacist group. And before they even have any details about what's going on, they're already shaping a narrative, right? They're already trying to convince you that this is because of this other thing. And it all points back to this ideal of slander, right? Of trying to convince you that the person you should hate is this person. And yet, what are we looking at? We call that news in our country. They're just giving you the facts, right? Without any information, without any knowledge. The fact is, for these believers, the ones that were spreading this gossip about Paul, the ones that were there and were saying, hey guys, elders, you guys got to watch out for this Paul guy because he's out there. We've heard what's coming back. And you got to watch out for him because this Paul is telling Jewish believers to give up the customs. He's out there telling them all these bad things. You know, I bet you they didn't just feel innocent. I think they felt justified. They felt justified in this argument. And do you know why? Probably for a couple reasons. Number one, they probably felt justified because they knew Paul's history, didn't they? Do you believe that it's possible that out of that entire church in Jerusalem, that none of them were good friends with Stephen, the one that was martyred? The one where Paul held the cloaks, where he stood there and approved as they stoned Stephen to death? Do you believe that in this church that it is possible that nobody in this group had dear friends or family members that were arrested and prosecuted because of what Paul did? How would you feel about a man like that? How would you feel if somebody like that became a member of the church? Sure, it's easy to say forgive, right? It's really easy to say, oh, I could overlook it, I could move past it. But the fact of the matter is that if my family members were hurt by that, it's hard to let that go, right? And so now I've got this seed of bitterness working in my heart. So when somebody comes to me and says, this Paul guy is out there, not only is he persecuting the church, he's trying to destroy it from the inside. He's trying to break it down. He's teaching these things. My heart's open to that, isn't it? Because I've got a bitterness towards him. And so I start to feel justified. Well, I better spread this around. I better make sure people know because this Paul guy, he's a problem. He's a troublemaker, and he is creating issues in the church. There's also the reality that they probably felt pretty justified in this circumstance because they felt like Paul was teaching something that wasn't true. Now, the reality is we all have a tendency to do that. And it's a sad tendency because we get our ideals, we shape things out, we put things in an organized box, and then we assume that anybody that doesn't think like us is instantly bad. I want to give you an example, okay? I can tell you what a denomination believes, okay? In general. I can go, they have creeds, they have books, they have materials that they put out, and they say, this is what we as Methodists or Baptists or Lutherans, this is what we believe. And so I can go and read that material. I can compare that material to the Bible, and more than likely, I can find things that I would disagree with that I think, based on biblical truth, doesn't match up with their doctrine. But here's my problem. If I start walking around and saying, oh, you say you're Baptist, therefore you believe this, 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 and this, and therefore you're excluded from me. Don't talk to me. Or if I walk out and I say, and I'm talking with this new believer, and they go, oh, yeah, I got this new friend that's Lutheran, and they were telling me all this stuff. Oh, don't talk to those Lutherans. They believe this, 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 and this. Don't have anything to do with them. What am I actually doing? I'm gossiping. I'm slandering these people. Because guess what? I don't know what they believe. I know lots of people who go to lots of different denominations who don't believe everything that their denomination does. And so when I walk through that door and I say, you believe this, 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 and this, and you're condemned based on this passage, and this passage, and I don't even talk to them about it, I am a gossip and I am a slanderer because I don't know that person. I don't know what they believe. You see, the simple fact of the matter is that when Paul confronted sin in the church, and we must, okay? The Word of God is the Word of God. I can't stand back and say something is truth that is not supported by God's Word, okay? I have to defend truth, and I will do that. But I have to be willing to confront the person that I think is teaching something that's not true. See, in Galatians 6:1, Paul says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. You see, the only proper response to differences and to conflict is to talk. It's for me to come to you and say, listen, I hear you saying this, but look at what the Scripture says. Does this add up? Is this, what am I missing? What am I missing? Because I'm looking at God's Word and it says this, and I see the doctrines of the church that you're a part of and it says this, and I don't see how they mesh. I don't see how these two things can work together. Help me understand. Let's reason together from the Scriptures. That's the only way that we can unify. That's the only way that we can find a way to work through things. But when our response, when our attitude is to say, oh, well, this, that, and the other. These people are wrong because, and these people are, and I listen, I know that in our Sunday schools, we have been taught about things like Calvinism. We have been taught about, we are addressing the wrongness of a theology, okay? We are not addressing individual people. And I want to be clear about that because that's what we need to be focused on is knowing the truth ourselves, okay, and making sure that we're walking in the right way so that we can help others to know the truth too. But we can't just assume. We can't just assume. The fact of the matter is that gossip destroys relationships. See, Solomon points out as he's talking in verse 21, as charcoals to ember and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. See, some people just can't get free of drama in their lives. They just can't shake it. And so they go around and they get angry at people. They get angry at God and they slander. They speak poorly and they say, oh, well, this person did this and this to me. And there's just, they can't seem to help themselves. And then they can't figure out, why don't I have good relationships with people? Why can't I have a healthy relationship? Why don't people want to be around me? Why can't I get all of these things that I want? Why can't I find the closeness that I want? And the answer is that when we treat people poorly, when we slander them behind their backs, when we gossip and try to make ourselves look good and make other people look bad, they don't want anything to do with us. They don't want that in their lives. You see, in Proverbs 16:28, Solomon continues, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. We can't have healthy relationships if we're talking about each other. We can't have healthy relationships if, rather than loving each other enough to have a conversation, to ask the question, is everything okay? How are we doing? Or to be willing to say, this is not right. I feel hurt by this. These conflicts destroy any possibility of closeness. I can't help but wonder, what if these brothers and sisters hadn't been willing to listen? What if they had actually taken the time to go and meet with Paul and say, Paul, I'm concerned. Here's what I'm hearing. I see these things and I'm hearing these things. What's going on? What kind of response do you think they would have gotten from Paul? He would have been able to clear everything up, right? Oh no, that's not what I'm teaching. That's not who I am. That's not what I'm about. They could have looked at his manner of life. They could have walked alongside him, and they could have come to the conclusion, the true conclusion, that Paul was not even close to doing the things that they heard. And yet, because of this, because of the fact that they heard it, they accepted it, and they spread it, Paul was going to suffer. In Acts 21, verses 27 through 36, it says, when the 7 days were nearly over. Now, the 7 days is the purification time frame for the sacrifices he was going to make. Some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Fellow Israelites, help us. This is the man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people and our law and against this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place." They had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian in the city with Paul and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. The whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions. Seizing Paul, they dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. While they were trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troops that the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. He at once took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd. When the rioters saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. The commander came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. They asked who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd shouted one thing and some another. And since the commander could not get the truth because of the uproar, he ordered Paul be taken into the barracks. When Paul reached the steps, the violence of the mob was so great that he had to be carried by the soldiers. The crowd that followed kept shouting, "Get rid of him." Come on, just a little gossip. What can it hurt? It's no big deal, right? I feel a little better about myself. Maybe somebody thinks a little less of someone else, but hey, it's just a little gossip. What does it hurt? This man was beaten so badly he had to be carried. And this is the same church that when we looked at them before had all things in common. They were sharing everything that they had. What had happened? Just a little bit of gossip. See, what we have to realize is just a little bit of gossip works its way deep into our soul. And it has a way of rotting who we are. It's heartbreaking when we end up in situations where we now think differently of a person because of what we've heard, isn't it? Things that are none of our business. Things that that person never had a chance to repent of, to make right with the person that they wronged. And why? For what purpose? So this isn't the end for Paul. In Acts 23, verses 12 through 15, it says, "The next morning some Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. They went to the chief priests and the elders and said, 'We have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petition the commander to bring him before you on the pretext of wanting a more accurate information about the case. We are ready to kill him before he gets here.'" How would you feel knowing that you were a part of that? How would you feel knowing that you were a part of spreading a message that forced this innocent man to prove himself and in so doing suffer such horrendous beatings and to be put into a position where people were trying to kill him, ready to take his life? Gossip is never innocent, and it is never justified. It never serves a positive purpose. It always tears apart what God is trying to unite. Always. It's just. It's destructive. And it breaks down good things. Brothers and sisters, when somebody's gossiping to you, you got to shut it down. Right on the spot. Don't wait for them to finish their story. Stop it. I've heard enough. I don't need to know more. Have you talked to that person? If not, don't talk to me. Bottom line, you call me to gossip, I'm going to hang up the phone on you. Think I'm joking? Try me. I'm done with it. I'm sick of it. It serves no purpose but destroying and breaking down what God has placed for his church. I was told by somebody this week that they would never want to go to church because they have enough drama in their own lives and that they don't need the gossip that takes place in church. Now, you could probably argue that this person is somebody that's making excuses not to be here. But let me tell you something. You don't want to stand before God and have him look at you and say, "Why? Why were you the one that was sitting there creating drama in my kingdom that cost this person that moment?" Yes, they'll be held accountable, but why do you want to be a part of that? Why would we want to be a part of that? I want you to think about what Paul or Solomon called gossips. He said they're perverse. The word perverse, defined, is to turn away from or reject what is right, good, or proper. Wicked or corrupt. Is that who we want to be? Is that something we want to support? Gossip, no matter how you lay it out, is slander. Because even if what you say is true, if you don't give that person the opportunity to make it right, if you don't try to work with them to fix that relationship, then you are slandering your brother or sister. In 1 Corinthians 6:10, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Nor slanderers. It's not a simple thing. Gossip destroys. This is an important topic to me because it almost cost me my faith. It's not simple. It's not innocent. It is destructive. And the only way to stop gossip is to nip it in the bud. Every person that carries it on, that takes it in, accepts it, and shares it is like adding a log to the fire. James in James chapter 3 verse 5 says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest it sets on fire by a small spark. One person tells another person. And if it keeps going, another log eventually becomes a bonfire, doesn't it? We can see what a little spark can cause. Somebody flicks their cigarette out the window, and next thing you know, there's a whole field on fire. How did it happen? One spark. That one time we gossip, that one time we slander, that one time that we take that in and pass it on, we're adding fire to the flame. But it's also equally true that if you step on the cigarette butt and smash out the embers, there's no threat of a fire, is there? And all it takes is having the courage that one time to say, you know what, I'm not going to listen. I don't want to know. That's not for me. Go talk to that person. And we could solve so much drama. I want you to think about this. This is what God's clear standards are for how we are to speak. In Ephesians 4, 29 through 32, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others by others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. What wholesome thing happens when we talk poorly about other people? Not one positive thing. What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? Have you ever been grieved by somebody? Parents grieve when they lose their children. We grieve loss. Grief is when our deepest part of our heart is broken. Is that really what you want to do to the Holy Spirit of God? Think about what you're saying. Think about the people around you and love them enough to only say what is good for them, to only open our mouths for things that build them up and benefit those who listen. You want to say something about somebody behind their back? Say something good. Tell about how kind they are. Tell about how loving they are. Tell about that thing that they did for you that was so awesome. If you want to talk about people, talk about good things. How would you like it if somebody aired your dirty laundry? Just took it all out and said, here you go. Because there's not anybody sitting in this room that doesn't have a skeleton in their closet. We all have sinned and fallen short. But like Mike said, where are we going? Which way are we walking? Because let me tell you something. If you're walking in gossip, Jesus is over there. Turn around. Get out of it. Gossip may seem innocent or justifiable, but it never is. It's a destroyer of relationships, and it is in direct opposition to everything that God has called us to be as believers. We must snuff it out in our church and in our lives and ensure that in everything we say, that it is for building up. When others are in sin, it is not right to talk about them. It is right to talk to them. Do we understand that? Not to talk about them, but to talk to them. Never, ever give credence to gossip. Don't do it. It's too destructive. It destroys us and the person telling it. Bitterness is what brings gossip. Is bitterness something we should support? Is bitterness something we should support? You can say no. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, we're fragile human beings. We're so easily distracted. We do so many things without thinking. Say so many things without thinking. Lord, one of the most destructive things that happens in your church as a whole is gossip. Lord, you've seen it tear down loving relationships. You've seen it break beautiful works. You know the damage that it's done. Lord, my heart breaks when I think about what happened to Paul. He didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve to suffer in that way. He knew the cost of being a disciple. But Lord, when you know that part of the reason that he was sitting there in that crowd is because his fellow believers chose not to love him, not to give him the benefit of the doubt. It breaks my heart, Lord. Because none of us, having received your love, should have to be afraid of each other. God, I ask that you'll purge gossip from our midst. I ask that you will give us the courage to pause and to think before we speak. Help us to think about what is wholesome and right. Help us to think about whether our words are building up or tearing down. Make us your instruments of peace, Lord. Purge any wickedness from our hearts. Edify your people, Lord, and I pray that in any ways that we have grieved you and broken your heart, that we will truly turn away from those things, that we will cast them out, never to return, and that we'll seek to be filled with you. Pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen. Please stand while we sing.